Father, we just want to thank you one more time for your word this morning. We pray, oh God, that even as we have come, we will meet with you. As we have come, our lives will be changed. As we have come, you will do something new in our lives this morning. That the entrance of your word will bring light and understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to be talking to us. It's our month of destiny. You know, our year of divine help and our month of what? Destiny. And Pastor has been speaking to us a lot about destiny. We learned about the role of destiny helpers and how God will strategically place people in your life on this journey of destiny to help you to get to where you're going. Last Sunday, Bishop Adejumo taught us about destiny shared and the importance of marriage, amongst other things, and how you need to partner with some strategic people in order to make sure that your destiny is attained. This morning, I'm going to be just talking to us about destiny, but from a different perspective this morning. Hallelujah. Have you got your Bibles? If you've got your Bibles, please open it to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Somebody say amen. Amen. And then let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews chapter 12. It's a very popular scripture that all of us know. I'm just going to be reading verse 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside." Everybody say, lay aside. "Every weight." Repeat that. "Every weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us or traps us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And then the last scripture that we're going to be looking at is taken from the book of 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He will not devour you in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading and more so the doing of his holy word. Hallelujah. So like I said, I'm going to be talking to us about destiny, still along the line of destiny this morning. Pastor defined what destiny is. Very simple. Your destiny is just simply the assignment for which you are here for. The reason why God sent you and I into the earth realm. That's your destiny. That's your purpose. That's your mandate. And every single one of us in this room has a reason to be here. We have a destiny in God. We have a purpose here on earth. We're not just here because God didn't know what to do next, and so he decided to create you. No, God sent you here for a reason. He sent you here for a mandate. He sent you here for a purpose and for a mission. You are a man or a woman on mission for God. The Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness. Let them have dominion over everything, over the living things, over the cattle, the beasts, and so on and so forth." So God wanted to do something on the earth realm. And he came down and formed man. He formed you and I. And he sent us into the earth to come and fulfill that mandate. So we're not here just to take space. We are here to fulfill the heavenly mandate. Amen? So it doesn't matter what kind of situation you were birthed into. You know, some of us were born into very, very difficult situations. Maybe you were not planned for. Maybe you were a product of an adulterous affair between your father and your mother. It doesn't matter the circumstances that surrounded your birth. You're still here for a purpose. God still has a destiny in line for you. Hallelujah. And so the scripture that we read in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, God says, I know the plans that I have towards you. I know the purpose. You have a destiny. You have a mission. And that destiny is a good destiny. That plan is a good plan. Amen? He says, before I formed you, I knew you. So before you even came into your mother's womb, God knew who you were. God knew you were going to be in Milton Keynes. God knew that you were going to be in King's Court Chapel at this particular point in time. Everything about your life was planned, even before inception. Amen? So God has a purpose for you and I. It's so clear. The destiny that God has for you and I is a very glorious one. It's a very bright one from the scripture that we read in Jeremiah 29. A good one, a bright future, a glorious future. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is also full of so many people that had such a good future, that had a God-given mandate, that had a reason why God created them. Moses was created primarily to be a deliverer of the children of Israel. Samson was created to be a deliverer of the children of Israel. And so on and so forth. But I'm sure a lot of us realize that not all the people in the Bible finished their assignment well. God had a good plan. God had a destiny. Some of them, their destiny got tainted along the way. Some of them, their destiny got shipwrecked along the way. Some of them fell into entrapments along the way. Some of them, little things here and there, made them fall off track on the journey of destiny. And so, as we begin to consider this topic of destiny, it's very, very important for us to look at the things that will prevent us from fulfilling that good future, that good destiny that God has for you and I. And so this morning I'm going to be talking to us about pitfalls to destiny. Pitfalls to destiny. Because destiny is a journey. Your destiny is a place that you are going to. It's an assignment that God has given you. It's like a man that wants to go from here to Scotland. He's on a journey, but he must be aware of the pitfalls on the way if he's going to arrive safely. Let somebody say amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not so important how you finish, how you start. It's more important how you continue on the journey of destiny and how you finish. How you finish. Are you going to just finish so-so? Today we were talking during the Bible study. I love it was in line with what I was going to preach. The Bible study. And I'd like to encourage you, if you don't come for Bible study, please make some time to come. It will bless you. Bible study starts, Sunday school starts what? 9:30 every Sunday. I'd like to encourage you, come early, come and learn. Come and glean from the word. This morning we're talking about eternal rewards. And there was a question that came up, you know, if you're saved, are you always saved? I think it was something along those lines. If your name is written in the book of life, is it always there? Or are there some times that your name might be blotted out? Well, we're going to be talking about some of the things that if we are not careful, I don't believe in once saved, always saved. The fact that your name, even in Revelation 3, 5, it says, if you overcome to the end, then I will not blot out your name. That means that there might be a chance. For those that are saying, will he blot out, will he not blot out? It says in Revelation 3, 5, I will not blot out. So there is a chance. So what are the things that we need to do to ensure or to try as much as possible to ensure that we do not fall on the journey of destiny? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. A pit, I took the privilege of looking up the word pit in the dictionary. And the word pit is a covered or concealed excavation in the ground. A covered or concealed excavation in the ground that serves as a trap. That's the dictionary meaning of a pit. It serves as a trap to ensnare. The Bible says we have a race that is set before us, but we should lay things aside, the things that will ensnare us, that will trap us and that will trip us on the race of destiny. So let's look at the first trap this morning. The first thing that might stand as a pitfall in your journey of destiny is the kind of company that you keep. I'm going to be talking to us about things that are very, very, I'm a teacher, I'm very simple. I believe in the simplicity of the word. I don't believe there is any point in talking about the bed of Aaron and everything that is on the altar and you leave and then how do I apply that in my life? Amen? So we're going to be very real. I'm going to be very simple. I'm going to take it very easy this morning. What's the first thing that we need to consider if you and I want to make sure, looking at the people that have gone ahead of us in the Bible, let's look at some of the things that they did. Some of the things that we need to be aware of if we don't want to fall into the same trap. The company that you keep. Turn to your neighbor, say, the company you keep. What kind of company are you keeping? You are running on the road of destiny. You want to finish well. You want to finish strong. We need to look closely at the kind of people you surround yourself with. What kind of people are around you? Are they going where you are going? Are they the kind of people that will influence you for good or for evil? The Bible says in Psalm 1 that blessed is the man that does not what? Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It then says that does not what? Sit in the seat of the sinners. Yeah, it's walk, stand, and then sit. That does not stand and then sit. So it's a progression. You start by walking with the ungodly. Before you know it, you are standing. So first of all, you are walking with them. And then before you know it, you are standing. Really? Is that what happened? Tell me more. The next minute, oh cow, you sit down and you take company. And then the next thing, you lie down. For a single person, you start by walking, then you stand, then you sit, then you're on the bed. The quickest way the enemy is very easy. You know, a lot of times we lay a lot of emphasis on the enemy, and it's true. The Bible says we should not be ignorant. We have an adversary that is going around to and fro looking for who he would devour. That is so true. But some of us, we use our own hand. The enemy doesn't even know your home address. He doesn't even know where you live. It's you yourself that is doing yourself. The quickest way that the enemy is going to, if he wants to get you off course, if he wants to sideline you off the road of destiny, the quickest way to do it is just by sending wrong people into your life. Wrong people. The Bible talks about Samson. I said we're going to be looking as some of the people that have gone ahead of us. We are not condemning them. The Bible says we should, you know, we should imitate those that have gone ahead of us. We should look at what they do. What did they do? How did they live their lives? Look at it and see what we can apply in our own lives. So let's look at Samson. Samson in the book of Judges chapter 13. The Bible says, I can't look through all the scriptures, so just write them down. When you get home, go and study. Samson was a man that was called to be a Nazarite from birth. That means he was separated unto God. When God was creating him, he said, your purpose is just to go and be a deliverer, to go and deliver my people from their oppressions. But Samson was a man that kept wrong company. He was very anointed. He was so anointed, when his mom was going to give birth to him, an angel went to announce that he was coming. Anointed, but yet, just because he couldn't use wisdom in choosing his friends, amongst other things, you know what happened to him on the journey of destiny? He tripped. The enemy set a trap for him, and he fell into it. In fact, his friends, the Bible says that when he married the Philistine woman before Delilah, the father took the lady from her and gave it to his companion, his friend. What kind of friend is that? The Bible says his best friend, his best man, was the one that took his wife. So it shows you the kind of friends that Samson surrounded himself with. He was a believer. He was a born-again child of God, if we were to bring it to present day. But he kept friends with unbelievers. He kept friends with the company of fools. He kept friends with the scornful. He kept friends with the mockers of God. And yet he was a believer. The Bible says that they that walk, he who walks with the wise will be wise. But the company of fools shall be what? Utterly destroyed. Proverbs 13 verse 20. So if you are walking with foolish people, if you are walking with, I always tell my son, choose your friends. Don't try and fit in with the mold. You can stand out for God. You don't have to fit in with what is popular. Choose your friends very closely. Look at the kind of things that they do. Look at the kind of things that they are interested in. Because you know what? They will influence you. Samson's friends influenced him. He was anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost, yet he fell into that trap. A lot of us, we choose our friends based on our feelings. And I like her, I like him, or what have you. But what we need to begin to do, if we want to ensure that we fulfill our destiny, we need to begin to choose our friends based on destiny. Where are you going? What's the vision for your life? Do you love God? Are you a lover of God? What are you? I'm not saying don't talk to unbelievers. That's not what I'm saying. But the Bible says, even though we are in the world, we are not of the world. So you can be in the world and not be of the world. You don't have to make your best friend an unbeliever. And then when you have problems, it's that unbeliever friend you call for advice. In fact, there's a woman here, while I was preparing this morning, the Lord said the reason why you have the problems in your home is because you are getting advice from the wrong person. The person that is speaking to into your marriage is speaking the wrong things. And that's why you are in that state in your marriage. You are getting advice from the wrong person. You are getting counsel from the person that cannot give you godly counsel. And that's the reason why you're home in. So if you stop that, things will begin to turn around. Don't choose your friends based on feelings. Choose them based on destiny. If you are single, my singles, where are you? Put up your hand if you are single in this place. Boldly, you are either single or you are married. There's no in between. Because these days, we don't know if people are married or if they are single. If you haven't been to the altar, you are not married. Because all sorts of terminologies these days. So if you are single, put partner. There's nothing like partner in the Bible. There's only spouse in the Bible. So if you are not married, put up your hands. Let me see. Boldly. So that heaven can see and send that man quickly. Or that woman, you better put it up. If you are going to marry, don't marry based, don't choose somebody based on feelings. Choose a partner based on destiny, not on goosebumps, not on how he looks, not, oh, I love him. I love how he makes me feel good. All those good feelings will disappear once you are married. Ask the married people. Choose based on destiny. Your destiny is too important for you to begin to choose somebody based on just how you feel. Your feelings are fickle. The only thing that will last is the word of God and the word that God has given you. Don't choose based on how you feel. Choose based on where they are going. Are you going in the same direction? Are you heading for the same mission? The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they? If somebody is not walking in agreement to your destiny, he's walking against your destiny. The quickest way to terminate your destiny here on earth is by marrying the wrong person. Just, you don't want to fulfill purpose. Go and marry wrongly. Marry in a hurry. Marry because you are now 39 and there's nobody coming. Marry because all your friends are now married and you are not married. And then you get into a hurry and choose the wrong person. Samson chose wrongly. He chose a daughter of the Philistines. He had a great... How can you go and choose somebody that is worshipping an idol when you serve the God of Israel? And you think she won't influence you? You've got to be kidding. Don't choose based on your feelings. Somebody's not born again. Somebody is not saved, sanctified. And I'm not just talking about speaking in tongues here. I'm talking about seeing the kind of fruit they display in their lives. Everybody can carry a Bible. What kind of fruit is coming out of their life? Somebody that is saying to you, sleep with me before we, let's test. It's not somebody you want to tie yourself to. Somebody that is saying, unless you give me a child, I won't marry you. It's not the kind of person you tie yourself to. Somebody that is pressing you about, no ring on your finger, testing you, pressing you all over the place. It's not the kind of person you get yourself entangled with. You know, these days, there's nothing like chastity in the body of Christ anymore. Everybody, you see, single, spirit-filled Christian, I'm here, I'm a messenger of good news, so please. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm trying to help you. We are all trying to fulfill what? Destiny. So let's not fool ourselves. You know, this morning, we were talking about that scripture, Romans 6:1. Should we continue in sin because grace abounds? The Bible says, God forbid. And we take liberty for license. The Christendom of nowadays, anything goes. So spirit-filled, born-again, single girls sleeping around with their boyfriends. There's no purity in the body of Christ anymore. You are doing exactly the same thing that your unbeliever friends are doing, and worse. And some brothers, everything in skirt goes. Everything in skirt. And you are a Christian. And you want to fulfill destiny. Look at Samson. If God didn't spare Samson, hello? I don't think that God is now going to change his mind and change his word because of you. At least you try. Don't say, I'm praying about it. Pray and flee from sexual immorality. You don't stay there and be praying. You flee. You put checks and balances in place to make sure that you are not ensnared on the journey of destiny. You know, one day a man of God was preaching and he said to the congregation, listen to me very well. If you miss what I'm saying, you might just miss heaven. You might just find yourself in hell. One man put up his hand and says, it doesn't matter whether I hear you or not. I'm already in hell. What I'm going through right now in my home is hell already. So what I'm going through right now cannot be worse than what hell looks like. So whether I listen or not will not make any difference. And it's so true, because if you choose wrongly, it's hell. Hell will start from here. It will start from here. So singles, please, don't be in a hurry. It's better to remain on. I'm telling you, there are some people that are married now that want to get out of it. They are wishing, if somebody had told me this, you know, 20 years ago, I would have made, you know, a different choice. So please, your life partner, like Bishop told us last week, is a destiny that is shared. It's not going where you're going. You're not going to make that destiny. There's no way you can fulfill destiny if you're married to the wrong person. No way. That person will slow you down. There might be a chance, okay, maybe the person will come to the Lord. But what if they don't come to the Lord? So let's not fool ourselves. The scriptures cannot be broken. You cannot mock God. A lot of us mock God. You know, God will change him. Eh, really? I'm not sure you really want to fulfill your destiny. That's a trap that you need to run from. The second thing that we need to be aware of on the journey of destiny and the pitfall that the enemy might set in our way is sin. What I just talked about was sin. I was talking about company. But company talks about, you know, your choice of life partner, your friends, and all of that. Sin. Sin in any shape or form will taint and abort your destiny. Now, I know that, of course, we are all, because of the fallen nature of man, you know, even in your thoughts, you sin. So I'm not saying that you have to become perfect. No. There's nobody that is perfect apart from God. But if you are a child of God and you are living in perpetual sin, so God says, this is what I don't like, and you continue to do it. Willful sin. He says, this is what I don't like, and you continue and you keep saying the grace. You keep asking for forgiveness. That's the one I'm talking about this morning. That's a trap. That's something that the enemy might use to make you trip. Because the Bible says that Samson did that all the time. And then one day, he got up as usual and said, I'll shake myself. And he did not know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. Because he had been, you know, just taking the grace of God for granted all the time. Moses, the great man of God that was sent to deliver the children of Israel, for him, it was anger. Can you imagine? After everything that Moses did, anger, just small anger. And that was it. And God said, you're not going to, you will see, but you won't enter. You will enter into destiny in the name of Jesus. Anything that will stand as a trap on your journey to destiny, the Lord will remove today in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord said, after all the laboring, 80 years in the wilderness, you now see you don't enter because of anger. And some of us, when we are angry, oh my God, just like Moses, God said to Moses, speak to the rock. Moses got there and struck the rock. Some of us, instead of speaking at that situation, speaking to our wives, speaking to our husbands, we strike them like Moses. When we are angry, oh my God, there's nothing we cannot say. We strike with our mouth, the words that come out from our mouth. We strike with our fists. So men, they're angry. When they're angry, they lose control. Some of us, when we are angry, everything is thrown around. The whole furniture, the whole house. You break everything breakable. You say, I can't control myself. I just got very angry. Yes, you can. Don't fool yourself. If you need to lie on the altar here and say, God, deliver me from myself. Take this thing away from me. This thing is a trap on my journey to destiny, and it must go because I must fulfill destiny. Moses, just one strike. God says you won't enter. You strike everything strikeable. Some of us, it's greed. You just cannot have enough. You must have everything that is out there, even though you can't afford it. You just must belong to the Joneses. You know you can't afford it. You must wear the latest. Everything you must have. For some people, it's lying perpetually. You know, it's a sad thing. Bishop was telling us the other day that in Nigeria now, and I'm sure a lot of you are aware of it, that people don't like to do business with Christians. Which is very, very unfortunate. Say you're a Christian. Oh, they'll say, please, is there any Muslim here that I can do business with? What a sad testimony. Because Christians are the ones that will give you their word and not keep it. No integrity. None whatsoever. So they prefer to do business with people that don't know Jesus. What an insult. Let your own case be different. Some of us, we know we can't, everything that comes, if you talk like this, we must give you credit. Because we don't know if everything you are saying is true. For some people, like I said, sexual immorality. I heard nowadays, the in thing now in Nigeria, and I don't know if you're not from Nigeria, I'm sure in Ghana and all the African countries, because if you've been to one African country, they're all the same. What happens in one happens in the other one. That the in thing now is for married women to be having boyfriends. So you see a married woman and she has a boyfriend. And some of them are born again Christian. They are spirit filled. And they are committing adultery. Married women. Some men, they have to have one by the side. God will have mercy on us. Those things will not allow us to fulfill our destiny. Because the enemy will make sure. How do you, when you are doing the thing with your boyfriend, singles, what if Jesus comes? Is there, no, but really, is there anybody worth going to hell for? Say, I love him. Is he worth you dying and going to hell? He's not worth you going to hell, or she's not worth you going to hell. We need to speak the truth to ourselves, and let's stop fooling ourselves. We need to watch out. It says, your adversary is going around seeking him who he will devour. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be watchful. Be alert. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, God will forgive God. And it's true. So if you've done from today, you must decide that you're going to do something different. you're going to change your ways. If you ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. But hey, don't keep going back to your vomit. A dog does not return to its own what? Vomit. If you, you know, you come to church, you ask God for grace, he gives you grace, then stop doing it because that thing is not pleasing to him. Can you imagine if Esther, you know, Esther that was meant to, she didn't know she was meant to be in the palace. She was just like the singles in this place. And some of you think, you know, what kind of destiny can I have? Do you know what kind of background I came from, Pastor Timothy? It can happen to me. I'm just, no. Esther did not look like it. She was an orphan. She was very disadvantaged. Yet, her destiny was the palace. So you might not look like it now. You, it doesn't matter if your family was the poorest family. If your village, nobody knows you there. It does not matter. Esther did not have anybody. She didn't know anybody. She didn't have father. She didn't have mother. She was disadvantaged. Yet, she still ended up in the palace. That was her destiny. And that is the destiny of some people in this place this morning. So it doesn't matter what you, you might not look like it now. Don't look at where you are. Look at where you are going to and begin to put the things in place that will ensure that you get there and you get there gloriously. Can you imagine if Esther had messed up along the way and then she finds herself as the queen in the palace and then one of those brothers comes in that she had messed, she didn't know she was going to end up there, and then the guy is now the cupbearer to her king, to her husband. You know what a cupbearer is? A person that just pours water. Boy. And she had slept with the boy. And then she's now the queen. How would she have felt? So you need to remember where you're going and decide to start making the right choices. I'm being very tough on singles because if we can get it right with you, you know, the next generation will do well. Amen. Amen. I know I'm not going to have a lot of amens, but that's okay. I'm doing okay by myself. That's fine. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it's good to hear the truth. If you give your children sweet all the time, will they be healthy? You have to give them broccoli. You have to give them cauliflower. Those things that taste very, very horrible, but they are good for you. This is one of those messages. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't want you to hear this message. In fact, as you're sitting down there, he's telling you, see her now. He just, don't mind the devil. He doesn't want you to finish well. So just tell him, get thee behind me. Amen. The other thing that the enemy might throw in our way, pride. Pride is one of the greatest killers of destiny. The quickest way to kill your destiny is by throwing pride into it. The Bible says God himself, what? Resists the proud. That means he doesn't want you to come near him. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The Bible says that he who humbles himself, the Lord will what? Lift up. He who lifts himself up, the Lord will abase, will bring down. God is able to bring down those that walk in pride. And every single one of us, if we're going to be real with ourselves, we all have a bit of it. Turn to your neighbor, say you have it. Don't look sanctimonious this morning. You have it. You have, every one of us have, we all have a little bit of pride in us. It's the truth. It's the truth. But you know, it's one of those things that you have, everybody can see it, but you can't see it. It's like body odor. Everybody knows you have body odor, but you can't smell it. That's what everybody knows. They can see it all over you. But in fact, the moment you say, I'm not proud, you just become proud. So those of you that say, me, I'm not proud, you are the greatest. You are the one I'm talking to this morning. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about, we know about Nebuchadnezzar, how he began to go around thinking, oh, this is all because of me. You know, this is because of my power, of my might, of my strength. I did all of this, you know, all by myself. And he began to, you know, just walk around, gallivant around. And you know what happened to him? Hallelujah. What are some of the traits of pride? When you begin to think that everything you have, all your accomplishments, everything, your beauty, you know, the money, your status, is all because of you. And then you walk like, you know, you just begin to calculate your steps. during praise and worship, they say, lift up your hands to the Lord. Say, bless the Lord. You can't lift up your hands in adoration to the Lord because you're so conscious of who you are. So dignified. You know, Vashti. No, it wasn't Vashti. It was the name of David's wife, Michal. She looked at David, she said, look at you, a whole king. See you just abusing yourself, lying on the floor. You a whole king. Where is your dignity? She was so proud. But you know what happened to her? Those that humble themselves, the God is able to lift up. Don't begin to get to a state where you think that you are it. You know, you've arrived. You know, you are it. Because God, you won't be able to fulfill destiny. There's one thing that God abhors, is pride. That was why Lucifer was not able to fulfill his destiny. And because he was not able to fulfill his destiny, he doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny. So the same thing that was in him, he will want to put on you. But he won't put it on you in Jesus' name. What have you received that was not given to you from above? And why are you behaving as if you did not receive it? Everything that you have is because of him. So never get to a state where you begin to think you are better than somebody else because you have a few pennies in your account, or because you think you come from so-so family, you are better, you look down on other people, you walk with your nose in the air, nobody can talk to you. Those are some of the traits. Some people, nobody can talk to them. As soon as you correct them, they are out of the church. As soon as the head of department talks to them, they're gone. They're so proud, nobody can talk to them. They can't take correction from anybody. It's a trap. It's a trap. Some of us, we get to a stage because God has given us a little bit of elevation. The people that you used to honor before, when you see them now, they're now your mates. You're now equals because you have a little bit of anointing on your head. So you're now equal. You can't kneel to greet people anymore. Because now... Yeah, Mrs. Me too, I'm Mrs. We both have ring. You know what I mean? Yes, we all have it. So with this morning, we are looking at ourselves. So we can begin to just, you know, put things in place to ensure that the enemy does not ensnare us on the journey to destiny. Pride is a destiny killer. It's a pitfall that you need to avoid like a plague. Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this message? The fourth thing, which I'm not going to spend too much time on, distractions. It's obvious. If you're going on a journey, if you're running and you're getting distracted, there's no way you're going to be able to fulfill your purpose. You remember the story of Peter, when Jesus told Peter to come. And he started to walk on the water. He took the first step. He was okay. His destination was where? The author and the finisher of his faith. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. The author, that was where his focus was meant to be. He was meant to have set his face like a flint towards Jesus. But he began to get distracted. Oh God, the water, the waves, the wind. He began to look around him. And then what happened? He began to sink. So when you allow distractions, and distractions will always come, but you must make up your mind that you're going to set your face like a flint. You're going to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The fourth thing that is a pitfall on the, is it the fifth? That is a pitfall on the way to destiny is looking back. Looking back. You are going from A to B. You are driving in your car and you keep looking at the mirror all the time. Keep looking back. Keep looking back. There's no way you'll be able to get to where you're going. And some of us are fond of looking back. We look back at all our mistakes. Oh, I wish I didn't do that. Oh, I regret doing that. When I gave my life to the Lord, and like a year after I relocated to this country, and the year after that, I found myself in ministry. Well, not in ministry. It was in ministry because we started Trinity Chapel then. So I was very young in the faith when the Lord thrust me into the forefront of ministry. And so I was still growing, I was still forming, I was still trying to find out who I was in the Lord and all of that. And here I was, my husband was the assistant pastor, we were starting a church, you were meant to be talking to people. I'm like, what do I know? And then, oh, I was still processing my past. I just come out from the world, and then you are in the kingdom, and then they now say, come and carry the mic. I was like, me? So I used to look back at some of the things that I did, and the enemy would torment me, and I would say, ah, God, you can't use me. How can I? Look at this. I did that. I did this. And some of us are fond of doing that. We keep looking back. And because we keep looking back, we are not able to arise and begin to do what the Lord has called us to do. There's nobody here that does not have something in their lives that they wish they never did. Don't mind the way they're looking sanctimonious this morning. If they were to tell you some of the things they did, you know that you are a saint compared to them. It's just by His grace. It's the blood of Jesus that has made us what? Righteous in Him. All our righteousness, like filthy rags in the sight of the Lord, if not for God. So don't begin to allow your past to weigh you down. It's a weight. You must lay it aside. Some of us, we can't even serve God because the enemy comes and torments you. You that you did this, you know, there was a story of a woman I heard that committed, she had some abortions, I don't know. She was telling the woman of God, she gave her life. She had done this thing before she came into the kingdom. So when she came into the kingdom, the enemy just put this weight upon her, you know, and said, you that you did this. So when she came in, she just used to sit morose in the congregation. You know, she didn't want to do anything in church. She didn't want to serve in any department. She was just feeling so condemned. How can God love? And then one day the woman of God called and said, ah, sister, what are you going to do for God? Ah, pastor, I can't. If you know some of the things that I've done, I said, what have you done that others? I said, ah, just counting the abortions I can remember, ma, maybe 15. The ones I can remember. And so she said, how can God use me? God can use me. You know, my situation is so bad. My past is so ugly. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And the same thing, the enemy has been telling some of you the same thing. Maybe your own is not as bad as that. But we all have our Achilles heel somewhere. This morning, the Lord has set you free in the name of Jesus. You are free in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. There is nothing you have done that the blood of Jesus cannot appropriate. Nothing. So please, don't go fishing. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so does he remove our transgressions from us. And when he removes it, what does he do? He buries it into the sea of forgetfulness. So don't go fishing. Don't go bringing it out. Don't go looking back at your past. The Bible talks about Lot's wife in Luke 17, 31 to 32. Jesus was preaching about the end times. So this is the signs of the end times. Somebody, a man would be on bed, one would be taken, one would not be taken, and talking about all of that. And then all of a sudden, he just stops and says, remember Lot's wife. If Jesus is saying remember, you better remember. What was it about Lot's wife? She looked back. She was meant to have come out of Sodom. They were meant to be going on a journey of destiny, herself and her husband. But she looked back. And the Bible says she froze. When you look back, you become stagnant. You can't move forward. You just freeze. When you look back and you remember some of the things you did, you just freeze. You can't move forward with life. She froze. And she became, what, a pillar of salt. And then Jesus admonishes us. He says, remember her. Why? Don't do what she did. Don't look back at your past mistakes. Don't look back. The Bible says in Philippians 3, 13, Paul says, this one thing I do. Do you know what? How many things Paul did? He committed, so he killed Christians. He was a persecutor. He was there. When they were stoning Stephen, he was a witness. Can you imagine coming into the kingdom with that kind of history? But he says, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind me, I press forward that I might lay hold of what is ahead. He didn't allow the enemy to put condemnation on him. And some of you, this morning, the Lord will set you free in the name of Jesus. The Bible says a lion turns back for no one. You're not meant to be turning back. As I was ministering, the Lord, as I was preparing for this, the Lord said to me that there's somebody in here that, you know, you've been doing an exam over and over and over and over and over again. And the enemy is telling you that you're not going to pass that exam, that you should give up, that you should turn back, go back to what you used to do. A lion does not turn back for anyone. Proverbs 30:30. You're not going to turn back. You're going to pass that exam. Some of you, the enemy has been telling you, go back to where you're coming from. Maybe you have a dream and you see somebody telling you, go back. You will not go back in the name of Jesus. You know, when the Lord released the children of Israel, Pharaoh came. He didn't want them to go into destiny. He wanted to pull them back. You will not go back. Every Pharaoh that is trying to pull you back will be drowned in the Red Sea in the name of Jesus. You will not turn back. You will fulfill destiny. You will fulfill purpose. Another thing you need to be aware of, you have to forget your past and you must forget your successes. Don't begin to say, in those days, man, when we used to pray, heaven used to come down. And that was then. This is now. If you keep looking at your accomplishments of the past, you will never, no matter how much you've accomplished for God, there's still more ground to conquer. No matter how many books you've written, there's still more books to read. No matter how many scriptures you know, there's still more to know of God. So never get to a stage where you begin to just rest on your oars and say, yeah, we are there. You are never there. The only way you'll be there is when you are in glory. Hallelujah. So until you get to glory, there's more work to be done. Amen. The last point that might stand or that might want to act as a pitfall on the journey to destiny is the unwillingness to pay the price. The unwillingness to pay the price. God has a great destiny. God has a great purpose. God has called me to the nations. God has called me to be a whatever to the nations, to be a deliverer, to be a whatever it is God has called you to. But the price to pay for it, you're not willing to pay. You just want it to just land on your legs. Just sit down and it will just come and land. You don't want to do anything at all. Destiny has a price. There's a price tag for it. The Bible talks about Jesus. The Bible says, for this very reason was the Son of God made manifest, that he might what? Destroy every work of the enemy. So the reason why Jesus came was to destroy the enemy, number one. Number two, to give you and I eternal life. But he had to leave his glory. He had to pay the price. Can you imagine the kind of glory and splendor that Jesus would have had to leave behind to come into this world to die for you? And that was a price he had to pay, to die on the cross. If Jesus had to pay the price, some people say, oh, Jesus has paid the price, so I don't have to. Oh, yes, you do. You still have to do something. If God is calling you, for instance, to, I don't know, write a book, and you don't type, you don't begin to journal, you don't begin to write, it's not going to happen. You need to pay a price. God has called you to build an orphanage, but you don't want to take care of children. You don't want to do anything with children. You think one day you just arrive and then the orphanage will be there. No. God doesn't just throw up. He lifts up. You have to, it's from glory to glory. You don't just arrive there. Where are you coming from? What have you done? Have you been faithful in the little that God has given you? If you haven't been faithful in the little, God is not going to entrust into you much. You have to start from somewhere. The Bible talks about Deborah. It says Deborah in Judges chapter 5, verse 7. She arose. It says, village life has ceased. Nothing was happening. And so she arose. It says, I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. She stood up. She got up. Some of you have been sitting for too long in this church. Deborah had been going. She had been sitting just like you. And then one day she says, you know what? I'm going to arise and begin to do something. Barak was the one that was meant that. It was Barak that was actually meant to take that, you know, to go into battle. That was his assignment. But he wasn't willing to pay the price. He wanted to just sit and be comfortable. Some of us, we've been sitting for too long. God has been nudging you. Do something in my house. And you think, you can't be serious about destiny and be doing that. You have to start, do something. Find something to do in the house of the Lord. Some of us say, it's not convenient for me. Was it convenient for Jesus to die on the cross? It wasn't convenient for him to die now. So it's never going to be convenient. Some of us, before we got married, you were the first one in church. Now that you are married, Pastor, you know, you drag your feet. So did God err in giving you that husband or that wife? Or some of you's children. There's people that have 5 children and they're serving God faithfully. So what's your excuse with one that you have? So my point is, it's never going to be convenient for you. It's not about convenience, it's about sacrifice. It wasn't about convenience for Jesus, it was about sacrifice. He sacrificed his life for you and I. So the Bible says, how does it say it? It says, I'm trying to remember a scripture. I can't remember the scripture. I can't remember the scripture right now. What? No. Thank you, living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Quote it for me. How does it go? Romans. I want to quote that scripture because it just jumped in my spirit now. Because God is really saying something to somebody. Some of us, we've been making excuses for too long. We need to arise and begin to do something for the Lord. Romans 12. That's the one. Thank you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Saying, in other words, that's the least you can do. Considering what God has done for you, that's the least you can do. Some of us, we want, God has called me to be a financier of the kingdom, but to pay tithes, we can't pay. And you want to be a financier of the kingdom, you're not ready to pay the price. It's not going to happen. One of the greatest ways that the enemy will stop you from attaining your destiny is by putting this pitfall there. Esther almost fell into that trap. She had been prepared for the palace. That was the reason why God created her. But when the time came for her to sit and take her place, she almost missed it. She says, it's not convenient for me. Do you know what will happen? If I go to the king without being called, it's death. And the king has not sent for me. It's not convenient for me to go to the king. She was enjoying the trappings of the palace. I'm here. Why should I go and please? And Mordecai said to her, who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? He says, but if you remain silent, help will arise from somewhere else, but you and your father's house. So she almost missed it. The reason why God created her, she was going to sacrifice it because she wasn't willing to pay. She was almost not willing to pay the price. So what price are you willing to pay in the attainment of your destiny this morning? That is the question I have for you and I. Some of us, it's just to study. You want to do great things for God, but you don't put in the time. You don't spend time in fellowship. You don't spend time in communion. You don't read your Bible. You don't know God. You just, it's only when you come to church. You too desire that you want to know God now. There's no, God doesn't have any kind of restrictions. Everybody, if you are willing and obedient, says whosoever will may come. You too desire, I want to know God more. I want to know the scriptures. I want to move to another level. It's a price to wake up and pray, especially during winter. I'm talking to myself, is a price. It's not easy, but you must be willing to pay the price if you want to fulfill destiny. Amen. Destiny doesn't just happen. There must be commitment on your part. There must be commitment on your part. The Lord will give us everything that it takes this morning to attain our destinies. Some of you, like I said, it's time to arise. The Bible says, arise and what? Shine. For your light has come and the glory of God is risen upon you. The whole world is waiting for what you have. There's something that you have that nobody else has. And this generation is waiting for your manifestation. That's the reason why God sent you into this world. But you must determine that you are going to start to do something about it. Enough of procrastination. You're not getting any younger. You're not getting any younger. Time is going. People are waiting for you. The nations are waiting for you. Your destiny is waiting for you. You've given too many excuses. Enough of excuses. It's now time to begin to act. Let's rise on our feet. Rise to your feet this morning. My pastor says, if you're going to clap, I didn't ask you to clap. So if you're going to clap, do it with all the... What